We exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
That I hope would speak to our hearts as it relates to preparing for Easter. I want to give us a charge and a challenge as we go into next Sunday, and as we're only 7 days away from Easter Sunday, I want to really light a fire if a fire hasn't already been burning in your hearts as it relates to Easter. And I want to preach a passage out of Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and if you've heard this scripture before, I pray that God would give us some fresh insight, some fresh revelation. Maybe you're new to this, but nonetheless, I believe it will bless all of us as we hear from God's word. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And here's what it says. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. And they gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left. Everybody say no room. Come on, say it like you mean it. Everybody say no room. Not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. And then some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof. They made an opening in the roof. Y'all hear that? They made an opening in a roof, y'all. We'll talk about that in a moment. To get him to Jesus because of the crowd. And they did that by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And if you're taking notes today, I'm simply calling this message, "Make Room." Tell the person beside you, "Make Room." Make Room. Tell somebody else, "Make Room." Make Room. So as I mentioned, as you guys know, we're less than a week away from Easter, and this time we're going to be celebrating and partying, celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Every week we always celebrate it, but on Easter Sunday, we kind of take it up a notch, and we kind of bump it up even more, so that way people can know just how much of a big deal it is. But we're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday. But in the midst of us celebrating Easter Sunday, you and I have this awesome opportunity to make an impact and to reach out to people who need hope, who need love, who need Jesus. Matter of fact, studies show from Lifeway Research, they did a survey of about 15,000 adults in America, and the results were alarming. They say 67% of Americans say that a personal invitation from a family member would be very or somewhat effective in getting them to visit the church on Easter. 67%. Then they do another stat and release another stat that says 63% of Americans say that a personal invitation from a friend or neighbor would be very or somewhat effective in getting them to visit a church. So 67% of people are inclined to come to church if a family member would reach out to them. And 63% of people that we may know are inclined to come to a church as a friend if we invite them. Here's what this, I think, should help us understand today. That people are waiting for an invite. People are waiting for an invitation. People are open. The person on your job that you're like, man, they would never come to Jesus, they're probably more open than you realize. The people in your neighborhood that you kind of, you know, you and I just kind of walk by and we kind of say hi, good morning, and that's kind of it. They are more than likely more open to coming to church, to hearing the gospel, to being a part of community, to experiencing life change, more so than you would actually realize. The problem, what I've come to find out, is not the people. The problem is oftentimes with the people of God. Us as the people of God, we're not always intentional with extending the invite, with reaching out to people so that way they could hear about Jesus. And the question I want to ask us today is this: will we be intentional with reaching out to people who need Jesus? Because here's the thing you got to understand about people, and you're part of the people as well. You and I, we're drawn to life change. We're drawn to stories of hope. We're drawn to power. We're drawn to the things that are life-giving. We're drawn to that type of stuff. But the thing about it is, the church has the greatest message on planet Earth. But the problem is, the church, the people of God, and I'm not talking about the church is not a building, the church is the people. as you and I. The church, we're not always active with extending the invites, with reaching out to people. And the question I want to ask us today is, will you make room for the outsider? Will you make room for the person who does not know Jesus? Will you make room for the coworker who's far from God? Would you make room for the neighbor who's an alcoholic that you don't even want to talk to because their breath smells like alcohol? Would you make room for the family member that you haven't talked to in months or in years? Would you make room for the person who you consider to be an enemy? Because I don't know if you knew this or not, prior to us coming into a relationship with God, if you're a follower of Christ, the scripture says that we were once enemies of God, but yet God demonstrated his love for us and given us Jesus. Would you extend an invite to these people? Because that's exactly what we see happening in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 is this powerful story of life transformation that takes place. And I want to kind of look at a few principles. And so in verse 1, notice verse 2, it says that there was such a great crowd of people who had come to experience Jesus. They had come to hear about Jesus. They heard that Jesus was this miracle-working dude, that Jesus was this guy who could bring hope, that Jesus was this one who could heal people of their sickness. They had heard the word about Jesus. And they gathered in a large crowd. And it got so packed, verse 2 says, that there wasn't even any room left. Now, one side of this excites me, because I believe that as the church, our church is called to grow. Like, I don't believe that 5 years from now our church should be in the same place, because if we're being active in inviting people to Jesus, we shouldn't even have enough room for people in one service to accommodate what God is doing. I see our church growing as a Christ-centered, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church where we can't just have one service or two services or three services, but we're having multiple services throughout the course of the weekend, simply because, not that they want to hear about the Bridge Church, not because they want to come hear me preach or hear or see or anybody else, but because they want an encounter with Jesus. That's what I long for, to see a church that's packed out every week, not because of the number, but because of the hope that Jesus gives. That's what I long for. That's what I hope gets in your heart today. That's what I want to get us as a church to constantly get to, that we would have a heart for the hopeless, that people are coming from all over Hampton Roads, Hampton and Norfolk and Suffolk and Newport News and Portsmouth and Virginia Beach and Chesapeake and Williamsburg, that people are coming from everywhere to experience the power of God. And this text shows us that people will come all type of distances to get what they need. And you know this is true even in your own life, because many of us, man, you will drive hours to go to your favorite restaurant. You will drive hours to go see your favorite artists. Some of us drove hours to go see Beyonce and Bruno Mars. Right? Like, you'll sacrifice. You'll fill up the gas tank. You'll use money that you don't even have to do this. And the question I want to ask is, isn't Jesus that much better? Right? Like, shouldn't we want even more of that to take place as it relates to our community? Like, shouldn't we want all of Hampton, all of Newport News, all of Chesapeake, all of Portsmouth, Virginia Beach, so on and so forth? Shouldn't we want all of these people to experience Jesus? I think we should. Because if you've experienced a life change, and if you know what Jesus has done for you, why would you not want the same for somebody else? I want you to go with me with who you used to be 10 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe last week. And I want you to think about the transformation that God has brought in your life. And when you begin to look back over the things that God has done in your life, it should, one, cause you to say, God, thank you so much for what you've done. But it shouldn't stop there. It should now compel me to say, God, I want to tell everybody about who you are. I want to make your name famous because of what you've done for me. And so in the text, in the midst of there being no room, I think it's helping us understand that at the same time, what we're getting ready to see next, that even in the midst of it looking like there's no room, as a church grows and as we become who God's called us to be, no matter how full it is in here, we still are called to make room for the lost person. We're still called to make room for the people who are far from God. We're still called to make room for the person who is subjected to human trafficking. We're still called to make room for the people who are far from God, who are hurting, who are taking advantage of people. We're still called to make room for these people, because that's what Jesus did for us. That's what this story ultimately shows us, that we are called to make room for those who are far from God, those who need a powerful experience from God. So in this story, you see these four men who make room for somebody who is in need of Jesus, somebody who is not in a relationship with God, as we'll kind of see in a few moments. And from this story, we learn just a few truths that I want to highlight today. Number one, that making room for others starts with a care and a concern. So notice what verse 3 says. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Guys, let's think about this practically. Do you really think these four people would carry this paralyzed man as far as they did, and then later, as we see, up on top of a roof, if they didn't care and weren't concerned about him? At the core of us inviting people and reaching out to people and making room for people, there has to be a care and concern. In other words, I cannot care more about myself than I care about others. It's time for us to get out of our like what I like to call our eye chair. You know how like babies have a high chair? It's time for us to get out of our eye chair. Because I think oftentimes we live life too much for ourselves, and we don't live life trying to impact those who are around us. Don't try to live life trying to be concerned and don't have a care for other people. But notice that these four men, we don't even know if they were friends with this guy or not. Some scholars believe he was. Some say that he wasn't. But nonetheless, we know this for a fact. They had a care and they had a concern for this guy. They saw this guy who was paralyzed, and they said, we cannot leave him where he is. And you and I should have a care and a concern for family members, for friends, for neighbors, for people, co-workers, roommates, whoever they are. We should have a care and a concern for them. Not to say when we look at them like, man, they're in a bad situation. Well, praying for them. That's usually the spiritual route that we like to take. Man, I'm just praying for Johnny. Johnny's just snorting coke every day. I'm just praying that he would get a breakthrough. God wants to bring the breakthrough through you. God wants to work through you to help Johnny get out of that addiction. God wants to help you break the curse that's in your family through the power of the Spirit. God wants to use you and I. And the way he does that is it first starts in the heart. There has to be this care and this concern. And the reason why it should be a care and a concern is because we were once just like this paralyzed man if we were followers of Christ. You were once immobilized by your sin. And so before we look at other people as the person on the mat, let's look at ourselves as being once the person on the mat, the person who was helpless. How many times has God sent people your way to help you out your jam? How many times has God sent somebody down your path just to bless you financially, just to help you emotionally, just to pray for you? How many times have you been in a situation where you're like, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but all of a sudden, God made a way. He did it again, just like we just sang about. And you know what it started with that person who blessed you? A care and a concern. There's a saying that says, God only helps those who help themselves. That is 100% false. God helps those who can't help themselves. And here's a little secret. That's everybody. Because none of us, in and of our own strength and our own ability and our own power, can help ourselves. We need the grace, the touch, the love, the mercy of Jesus. We need it, y'all. And if you came in here thinking that you pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps, you are sadly mistaken. The only way you made it through the tough season was not because you were smart, was not because you were crafty, wasn't because you got a new job. It was because God was good to you. That was the only reason why. Because at the core of who God is love. There's a care, there's a concern for us. Jesus cares about those who are far from him, which means the lost, people who are not in a relationship with God. As a matter of fact, Jesus says in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And if you're not a follower, or if you're a follower of Christ in here, that was you prior to coming into a relationship with Jesus. You were lost. But here's the good news. Jesus came for you. And Jesus also came for the neighbor that you know, for the coworker that gets on your nerves, that plucks your nerves. The minute you get to the job tomorrow morning, they're already getting on your nerves. Jesus came for that person. Jesus came down from heaven to redeem that person. We care about others because Jesus cares about others. That's why we do it. We care about people because Jesus cares about people, because at the core being of who God is, God being love, he cares about all people. This is why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him won't perish but have everlasting life. At the core of it, it's love. God saw us in need, and he saw that we could not get ourselves out of that need, and so he sent Jesus. Having a heart for people means that we make room in our hearts for people. So the question I'm going to ask us today and asking myself, and I don't want you guys to think like I'm up here preaching this and like I'm excluded from this. Every time I was sharing with one of our members last week, every time I'm preparing this message, God is convicting me so much while I'm working on this thing. It's like, I can't even take no more. I don't even want to preach on Sunday because I'm just as convicted as everybody else. Because even in the midst of all the things that God has me doing, I can still be doing so much more. And I think if we would be honest about it, you and I could be transparent and say, I could be doing so much more. I could pray a little bit more for my neighbor. I could pray a little bit more for my family member rather than just disown them. I could pray a little bit more for the coworker. I can pray for the person that I get in Twitter battles with and get in arguments with on social media. I can pray for them more. I can see that struck a nerve, right? Like, I can pray for them. I could be more caring for them. But there will never be room for people in your heart as long as your heart is full of yourself. And that's part of the reason why we have a hard time and a difficult time making room for people, because our hearts are so full of ourselves. We need to say the same thing that that great prophet by the name of John says in the book of John around chapter 1, chapter 2, I must decrease so that he can increase. God, empty me of myself so that way there could be room in my heart for the brokenhearted. For those who are hurting, for those who are lost. These men in this story, they had a care and a concern for this man, which then compelled them to go reach out and help this man. They didn't just leave him there. They didn't just see him there. They were moved, y'all. They were moved. That's what compassion is all about. That's what caring is all about. Caring isn't just empathy or sympathy. It's both. Caring and having a concern isn't just saying, man, I feel for you. No, it's like, I feel for you, and what can I do to help you? And I think that's what God is trying to get us to get to, where we don't just see people in need, but we say, what can I do to help? The mark of a selfish person versus a selfless person is this. The selfish person says, what can you do for me? But the selfless person says, how can I serve you? And matter of fact, that's what Jesus represented. He said the Son of God didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Making room for others requires a care and concern. Secondly, it requires a commitment. Look at verse 4. It says this. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat that the man was lying on. Check this out. I'm going to talk about the whole roof thing in a minute specifically. But from a generic standpoint, look at the commitment that they exhibited. How many of us would have saw this crowd and be like, hey, bro, well, I guess you ain't getting healed today, right? I kind of equate it to like the Chick-fil-A line on Coliseum Drive, like around lunchtime. The line is wrapped all the way to Coliseum Drive, it seems like. And it's been plenty of times where I'm not coming. I ain't got time for this. Ain't nobody got time for this line right here. And oftentimes we treat people the same way. If it's an inconvenience, we won't go the extra mile, which shows the lack of commitment. These men here show us what making room looks like. They were committed. So they saw the crowd. They saw how there wasn't any room in the crowd. And while most people would have said, all right, we're going to have to catch Jesus on another time when he's back in Capernaum, they say, no. Let's go to the roof and lower him through it. They did not let a barrier block them from what God wanted to do through them to impact this man's life. Instead, the barrier became a bridge to get this man to Jesus. And that's a good name for a church, by the way. Because that's what you and I are called to be. We're called to be that. We're called to build bridges so that way people can get to Jesus. But unfortunately, oftentimes we build walls that prevent people from getting to Jesus. Where Jesus is like, no, I want you to tear down walls and I want you to build bridges that can get people to me. And notice this, y'all. Like, they go to the roof, and they're digging a hole in the roof. Now, back in this first century Jewish context, most homes in Israel, they had flat roofs. As a matter of fact, in my study time, I use Logos Bible software because I believe in investing in resources, so that way you can get the Word of God richly. I got a picture up here. I think we're going to show it. If you guys can see it right here, I don't know if it's kind of hard to see. But if you see at the top, this is kind of what a house would look like in the first century time. Now notice, like, in order to get to the roof, y'all see how flat those walls are? Y'all see what kind of work they had to go through to get on top of the roof? Not just like one person at a time. Guys, they took a paralyzed man to the top of the roof. That's dedication, y'all. That's commitment, which means that there was some sweat going on. They got dirty to do this, to get to the roof, but then to dig a hole in the roof. That means like they're not using shovels and rakes, like all these other type of creative things that we use nowadays. No, 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 no. They're using their hands, y'all. In other words, they're not afraid to get their hands dirty to get this man to Jesus. And the question that we got to ask ourselves today is, what kind of sacrifice are we making? What kind of commitment are we exhibiting to get people to Jesus? Because getting people to Jesus, y'all, it's not always comfortable. It's going to take some work. I'm not talking about Rihanna and Drake work. I'm talking about like real, you guys, some of y'all are like, what, who? Don't worry about it. It's going to take legitimate work. Like you got to put in some effort to get people to Jesus, which means you can't just pray one time and expect them all of a sudden to just say, I'm giving my life to Jesus. No, it takes persistence. Like the text doesn't tell us how long it took. I'm pretty sure it didn't take just 5 minutes. Probably took some hours to do this. It takes persistence. It takes commitment when it comes to making room for Jesus to make a move in people's lives. It takes dedication to do this thing, y'all. In other words, it's not just something that we just do 1 second and then we're done the next, but it goes back to the compassion and the love that they had for this man. Before these men made room in the house, they made room in their hearts. They had room in their heart. And I'm coming back to that question. Have you made room in your heart? Because when you've made room in your heart, man, y'all remember that old school song, Ain't No Mountain High Enough? Ain't No Valley Low? Don't act like y'all don't know that song. Like, ain't nothing wrong with it. It's cool. You're not going to hell because you know the song. Some of you are like, oh my gosh, I can't say that, right? But this is that song in first century illustration. They said, there's no roof that's high enough for us to get this man to Jesus. There's no roof that's too big and too thick that we can't dig a hole to get this man to Jesus. We will do whatever it takes. And if you truly love people who don't know Jesus, who don't have a church, you won't allow anything to hinder your efforts to getting them to Jesus. Do not give up on people because of a few setbacks. Some of us in here, we've given up on people. You've given up on that friend. You've given up on that family member. You say, man, I keep praying for them and nothing's happening. I keep inviting them and nothing's happening. I keep loving them and nothing's happening. Here's a question that I would ask us, because oftentimes we give up on people because they didn't or don't respond on the first or the second time we reached out to them. How many times did it take God constantly reaching out to us before we actually responded? Okay, maybe that's like too broad. Maybe we're too spiritual for that, because you're like, as soon as he said repent, I repented in Jesus' name. No, you didn't, but we'll give you that pass for today. How many times as you were growing up did your parents or your auntie or uncle, whoever it was, grandparents, had to tell you to stop doing the same thing, stop doing the same thing, stop doing the same thing? And then like the million times when it sunk in. But thank God that they were persistent, right? I got a 3 or 4 year old. He just turned 4 this past week. My wife can tell you every day it is the same thing over and over. Joe, eat your cereal. Eat your cereal. Eat your breakfast. Mind you, I'm saying this like 10 times in like 2 minutes, tops. Bro, eat. Daddy, look at this, eat. Look at my shoes, eat. Daddy, do you like my shirt? Eat, man, come on. Because we can't take an hour for you to eat breakfast. We're going to be late for school. Such is the same now when it comes to God reaching out to us. How many times did it take for God to say it over and over and over and over and over before we actually said, yeah, I'm going to do it this time? Such is the same when it comes to you inviting people and reaching out to people. Just because they said no the first time, go to them again. They say no a second time, go to them again. They say no a third time, go to again. Now, I'm not telling you to be some type of creeper. You know what I mean? Where you're showing up at the job. I see you. Are you coming to church this week? It's like, dude, no, I'm not. I have nothing. I want nothing to do with you. Strange man, strange woman. No, 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 no. Don't stop. Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop loving them. Don't stop extending the invite to them. Continue to pray. Matter of fact, here's a story that Jesus tells in Luke 15 to kind of stress this point. He says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Doesn't she sweep the house, which means she put in work, and search carefully? She's taking her time. She's doing it over and over again and over again and over again until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." Jesus says this in verse 10. "In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." In other words, somebody who's not in a relationship with God, when they turn to God and put their faith in Jesus, heaven is throwing a party, which is why the week after Easter, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to throw a big welcome party for those who are new to our church and those who have made a decision to give their life to Christ. Because the people, when they say yes to Jesus, all of heaven is partying right now. You think the parties that you go to on earth or something? Please. Please. Angels are turning up in heaven when people get saved. What? And that party don't stop. Right? Some of y'all like real old school church, right? People will say like, ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party because the Holy Ghost party don't stop. Some of you guys are like, what is that? Cool. I just showed my age and showed that I've been in church my whole life. But nonetheless, this type of party don't stop. Because when people say yes to Jesus, their entire lives have been changed. And that starts with us being committed, which means that there has to be a sacrifice that goes into knowing Christ. These men, they sweated, they strained to get this man to Jesus. It takes effort and sacrifice on our part. It takes lots of prayer, lots of persistence, lots of commitment. Many of us are where we are in life because somebody stuck with us through the low points in life. Thank God for the people who were committed to us. Thank God for the people who said, "Man, I'm always going to be with you." And they meant it because they were with you. When everybody else was dissipating, when everybody else was leaving you because you blew it, because you made a terrible decision, you had a few people who stuck with you, whether it was your mom, whether it was your dad, whether it's your grandparents, whether it's your best friend, your boo, your husband, wife, whoever it is, you had somebody who stuck with you thick and thin because they knew that God wanted to do something incredible in your life. And we are called to do the same for other people. We don't give up on anybody because God doesn't give up on anybody. We're in it for the long haul, y'all. That's what we do. And this is why every week you're always hearing me say, you need to invite somebody. You need to be praying for somebody. If it sounds like I'm beating a dead drum, it is. I am beating a dead drum. Because that's what Jesus constantly gets us to do. But then here's the next thing I want us to see. That making room is all about having a care and concern. It's all about having a commitment. And going back to verse 4, notice it says, since they could not get into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. Here's the second point I'm going to draw out of verse 4. Do y'all see the creativity here? Like, who thinks to get on a roof, y'all? Like, we wouldn't have thought about that. Their impression was, there's no room in the house, so what else could we do to get this? Like, it was never a question of whether or not they were going to get this man to Jesus. The only question was, how are we going to get this man to Jesus? Notice the creativity that they employ. They say, I would have loved to see everybody's facial expressions when somebody said, let's take him on the roof. Because I imagine like someone would have been looking at him like, are you crazy? Like, this house don't even belong to us. We're going to dig a hole in somebody's roof randomly and expect them to be cool with it? Can you imagine all the side conversations that are going? I don't know about y'all. If somebody gets on the roof of my house and tears a hole in my house, there's going to be some furniture moving in my house. There's going to be some things that take place as it relates to laying on of hands and not in a spiritual way. You put a hole in my roof, I'm local pastor catches a charge for that's what's going to happen. Just being honest with you. And you guys would do the same exact thing if you were just chilling in your house and all of a sudden somebody bust a hole in your roof. Who paid for this? Right? Hope your insurance is good. But no matter the conversation that happens, they all agree on it. They say, this is the best way. We got to get this man to Jesus. And it once again points to how concerned they were for this man. Their care and their concern, their love for this man drove the creativity. As I said earlier, the barrier to Jesus gave way to be a bridge to Jesus. Your greatest limitation that you think is a limitation to others getting to Christ can usually pave the way for God to use it as a means to get people to Christ. So no longer look at your limitations as roadblocks. You look at those limitations as a way for you to be creative for God's will to still be done. Be creative. Be creative in the things that you do. What do you possess right now that you can use to tell others about Jesus, to invite people to service on Sunday? Sometimes you and I have to use unconventional methods and unconventional ways and creative ways to get people to Jesus. Like, we got to be creative. It can't always just be, hey, come to church with me. Let's just be honest, it sounds boring. But you got to really, you got to help them understand the importance of it. Maybe you got to put something in their hand. This is why, as a church, one of the things that we're doing for Easter is we're going to do this big Easter egg hunt right at the service. And we need, like, people to help out with that, by the way. So if you would like to help out with that, man, come talk to me after service or send us an email, info@thebridgechurchva.com, shameless plug. But we're going to do a big Easter egg hunt because that's a way in which that we can reach people, we can draw people, but also it's a way for us to be able to show hospitality and show love for our community. We're doing other outreaches. Matter of fact, this coming up Saturday, we're partnering with this organization called Hashtag Lunches, and they prepare lunches and they send them out into the community to help feed those who are homeless. If you want to help out with that, send us an email, info@thebridgechurchva.com. So we do all these different type of things because the overarching goal is to get people to Jesus. That's the goal by any means necessary. That's why we gave you guys these invite cards when you came in, because we know that many of us, like, we don't have any clue sometimes what to say when it comes to inviting people, so we say it all for you on a card. And we give it to you so that way you can give it to people. We get creative. That's why we got stuff on social media. That's why we pay for social media ads on Facebook and on Instagram, so that way people who don't even know about the church can now see it. That's why we do this, y'all. It's all about reaching the lost person. We get creative with the things that we do. That's why we post these images on Facebook, and we want you to share those images on Facebook and on Instagram and on Twitter. Some of us are like, man, I don't know how to, like, outreach and evangelize the people, like, that are in my circle. I don't know a whole lot of unsaved people. Number one, if you don't know a whole lot of people who don't know Jesus, you need to get out of your Christian bubble. Because, like, 75% of Hampton alone is far from God, as studies have shown. So the harvest is plentiful. It's the workers that are few. But, man, we make it so easy. Make it easy for you. Man, follow us on social media. Share the Easter image. Change your profile pic to that. If you don't know how to do that, email us. We'll help you. Facebook for Dummies. We'll do so. Whatever it takes, y'all. Are y'all getting this? Whatever it takes to get people to Jesus. That's what we want to do. That's what we're about. Matter of fact, I shared a story yesterday as we were getting ready to kind of finish up dinner and stuff like that. We had a package come, and come to find out the package that came to our doorstep wasn't even really for us. It had, like, the numbers reversed, and so I guess the person who thought it was for us really, you know, it was for another neighbor down the street. And so on the steps at our doorpost is this huge package wrapped in Amazon wrapping paper. And anytime you see Amazon wrapping paper on a package, you're like, oh my gosh, this must be good. But it wasn't for us. We found out it was for a neighbor down the street. And so, you know, my wife was like, Ariel was like, now what should we do with this? You know, should we drive it down there? You know, should we walk down there? You know, I'm like, man, drive that down there. We don't want nobody seeing who this is, thinking we stole their package and then taped it back up. Some of y'all would do that. Y'all just crazy like that. Let me see what's in here right quick. I'm just messing. And so she was like, okay, we'll drive it down there and stuff like that. And then she was like, I got an idea. I'm like, what? Not really. But I'm like, what? And she said, what if we, like, took one of our Easter invite cards, taped it to the box, and wrote just a simple message saying, like, hey, they delivered this to us, but it's really for you. And I was like, that's brilliant. Because it's like, we're inviting them to church, but kind of like, not without, like, without being creepy, because we're leaving them a note to let them know that this package was delivered to us by accident and it was actually for you. And so that they get their package, but they also get an invite to Easter. That's awesome. That's creative, right? Now, I don't know, like, you can be super ninja with it. And, like, at your job or something like that, you can get an Easter invite card and just keep walking. I mean, I don't know what you want to do. But do something. Get creative. Maybe go to Chick-fil-A this week, and instead of buying yourself a number one combo, buy somebody else a combo who's behind you. And say, hey, this card, give this to the person behind me, and tell them this meal is on the house. And just give them this card. Acts of kindness, y'all. Be creative with how you reach people. Because that's what these guys did. They dug a hole in the roof. They did something amazing. We do these things once again so people can know Jesus. That's what it's about. Because here's what happens. When we make room for people to see Jesus, it allows them now to experience the compassion of Jesus. So when you look at verse 5, notice what it says. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now check out what's happening here. In the midst of Jesus preaching, he's preaching the word to this crowd. The crowd is here. He stops what he's doing. Can you imagine Jesus? He's preaching to the crowd. And all of a sudden, some dirt just starts to fall down. And particles of clay, because roofs back in that time were pretty much made out of clay. Clay pallets are just dropping down on people's heads. Can y'all imagine people are cussing in it? Like, what? What's going on here? And then Jesus looks up, and he sees this man being lowered down in front of him while he's preaching, y'all. But he stops what he's doing to speak life into this man. He extends compassion. And notice what he says. "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, I think this is incredibly important. Don't miss this. Notice, on the surface, we would think that the man's greatest need was his paralysis being healed. No. And Jesus could have very well said, "Son, get up and walk." The first thing that Jesus said is, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Because the greatest need that people have is not a physical one, it's always a spiritual one. It's always a spiritual one. That's the greatest need. The greatest need that people have is to be in a relationship with God through faith in Jesus. That's what it's about. And the only reason this man got to Jesus was because other people made room for him. So here's what happens when you and I make room for people. When you and I make room for people, it allows them to see that Jesus has made room for them. That's what happens. That is why we show hospitality. That is why we show love. That is why we go out of our way to help people. Just as these men got to play a role in this man's transformation, God uses your effort. God uses your prayers. God uses your acts of kindness to reach people. Please do not think for one second that the small thing that you do is small and minor in the eyes of God. No, it is not. It is huge, and God wants to use it. And if only you could see the impact that that small seed that you plant would have, you would be wanting to do it over and over and over again. Matter of fact, many of us here today, the only reason you experienced the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness, the compassion of Christ was because somebody invited you to be here. Matter of fact, many of us, the only reason why we are where we are right now in life is simply because somebody made room for us to experience the compassion of God. Now, don't get me wrong. You and I can't cause the life change. Not at all. We cannot bring forth the life change. And God doesn't expect us to bring forth the life change. What God calls us to do is to create the space for the life change to happen. So this is why we put so much emphasis on our weekend services. This is why we put so much emphasis on people getting connected to a small group, because we just want to create the space for a life change to happen. Notice that these men, they didn't heal this man. They didn't forgive this man. They created the space for it to happen. That's what God does with you and I. He uses our efforts to create the space for transformation to happen. He wants to use you on your job, in your neighborhood, in your family, to be salt and light, to create the space, to make room so transformation can flow into their lives, so that way they can experience the compassion for Jesus. The greatest need that people have is not a physical one. It is a spiritual one. And the greatest thing that you can do is to lead somebody to Jesus. Yes, there's nothing wrong with blessing people financially. Yes, there's nothing wrong with helping people physically. Yes, there's nothing wrong with helping people psychologically. But the greatest thing that you and I can do is to lead somebody into a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the greatest thing, because that impacts every other sphere of that person's life. And as I get ready to close, here's the thing that I want us to understand about today. That these men, they made room. They made room for this paralytic. Jesus calls this man son, showing that the relationship with God has been restored. But here's what's also cool. Later on in the story, verse 12, the scripture says that Jesus tells the man, "Pick up your mat and walk." The man walks out of there. People are going crazy. They're throwing a party because they're like, "Oh my gosh, this man that was paralyzed, all of a sudden now he can walk." But here's the thing that I want us to realize. That God still wants to do the same thing for you and I, but he also wants to do the same thing for others through you and I. He wants you to make room. This Sunday is Palm Sunday in the Christian community. It represents the Sunday leading into the days of Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection. That's what it symbolizes. It symbolizes Jesus coming into the place called Jerusalem. The triumphal entry is what scriptures oftentimes call it. And the reason why he was stepping forth into the city was to fulfill that which had been spoken of thousands of years ago, that God would make a way for people who are far from him to be in a relationship with him. Jesus stepped into our life to change our life and to change the lives of others through our lives. And he wants to do that through you. Church family, you are the church. You are the hands and the feet of Jesus. You are the ambassador that Jesus talks about. You are the salt. You are the light. You are to be the source of encouragement. You are to be the life-giving person on your job. You are to be the person in your community who brings forth the message of Jesus, who brings forth this message of hope, that just as Jesus was making his way into the city, he also wants to make his way into the lives of other people. That's what he wants to do. And you have people around you right now, not in this building, I'm talking about in your life. You have family members, friends, coworkers, roommates, people around you who are spiritually paralyzed, just like this man, who cannot help themselves, who cannot break the addiction on their own, who cannot set themselves free. But you know the one who says, I have come to give life and to give it more abundantly, because whoever trusts in the Son, he is free indeed. I have come to set them free, and he wants to do that through you. You and I have this gospel message, y'all. This message of good news. Jesus came to set people free from their sin. And the question that I want us to wrestle with today as we get ready to close this message and close this service is, will you make room for those people that Jesus wants you to reach? Because as followers of Christ, Jesus gave us one big command before he ascended to heaven. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 is known as the Great Commission. These are the last words that Jesus gave to us as disciples. This is the mission that the church is supposed to be on. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, all ethnic groups. That's what that means. Black people, white people, so on and so forth, rich, poor, middle class, whoever. He's caused us to reach people of all backgrounds, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I love the fact that Jesus says that at the end, because the question that we oftentimes may ask is, how long should I be making disciples? And Jesus would say something like this, until I come back. How long should I continue to speak into the lives of other people? Until I redeem this world. How long should I continue to invite people to church? Until I rapture. How long should I continue to make a difference and to pray for people and to intercede for people forever? Until the earth and the heavens are now made new. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are called to reach people for Jesus. There is no excuse. It is not something that Pastor Edwin does. It is not something that people on the B team do. It is everybody. This is a corporate call for the body of Christ. And so if you are a follower of Christ, this is a command that Jesus gives us, to go share the good news with people. These four men, they exhibited that. They made a difference in this man's life because they made room. And the question that I want to ask again for the eighth time is, will you make room for people? We got some room here in these chairs, and we got some chairs back there. We're making room for people next week, and we're making room for the people the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. Because as a church, we are called to be on mission, reaching people. And if there's one thing that I will never be satisfied with, is constantly seeing empty chairs, or knowing that there are people in our community who are hurting, knowing that as the body of Christ, we're called to reach people. Like, this is something that I'm going to do to the day I die, and I pray that you would do the same exact thing. Worship team, you guys can come on up. We're going to pray. I'll share the story as they're coming up and as we're getting ready to pray, and those little invite cards, so those prayer cards, I want you to go ahead and pull those out. And I pray that God's been speaking to your heart as we have been preaching this message. If you already got somebody in mind, go ahead and start writing them down. But as you're doing that, I'll share this story. One of my neighbors that I've been trying to pray for and that I've been praying for and been inviting to church for some years now, constantly would invite him. Hey, man, come to church, man. It'd be pretty dope. I think you'll love it. It's right down the street. It's completely different than what you probably are kind of accustomed to. We'll serve you, bless you, so on and so forth. And you're like, yeah, man, I'm gonna come. Never came, right? Immediately, the temptation to just give up on them kind of sets in. But God is constantly pricking my heart through the years to reach out to him, reach out to him, reach out to him, reach out to him. So something that was 3 years in the making, about 4 years in the making rather, kind of all came to a head this past week. I had to go to his house to get a package that was delivered to his house rather than our house. Now that I think about it, man, that was a theme that was happening in my life this week. Packages were going to the wrong places, but God was seeming to be in the midst of all of that. So I had to go to his house to go pick up the package, to ask him if he could hold it. I was like, hey, man, what are you doing on Easter? He was like, nothing really. I was like, dude, you should come to our church, man. Just come, man, just come. Just come. You and your wife, just come through. And he sat there, and I could tell, like, you know, he's going through all the excuses, right? You know what that looks like. You're like, they're trying to mentally go through, not their calendar, but ways to get out of this. But I can see the wheels turning. And he says, Ed, you know what? I'm going to be there on Easter Sunday. Like, I'm coming. And I could tell he meant it. Because other times he would just kind of be like, yeah, man, it's cool, I'll check it out. But he got so serious. And he was like, I'm coming. He says, my wife, she may have to work. And even if she has to work, I'm coming. So look for me on that Sunday. Something that started 4 years ago now is on the cusp of coming to pass. Gave him an invite card. Told him, hey, man, we got a lot of stuff planned that day. I think you'll love it. The biggest thing is, man, like, we want something for you, not from you. And I hope you experience that. What if there are people right now in your life that fit that same description of my neighbor? Like, people that you have right now in your life that you're, like, this close to giving up on? Like, man, I've invited them a ton of times. I'm sick and tired of just getting rejected. Maybe this last time, maybe the time that God uses to get them here. That's what this card represents. The person that you're praying for, the people that you're praying for, the people that you invite. And so just right before we kind of have this moment of prayer, as we get ready to close service in a few moments, with every head bowed and every eye closed, before we write these names down and go all the way with it, here's what I want us to first to do. I want you to first pray to God, talk to God, and just ask God, would you enlarge my heart for people? Because I've been convicted so many times of living for myself and being so selfish, thinking that it's all about me. But today,